Cuomo, Newsom, and Abbott, what do those names mean to you? The mighty who have fallen? Liars. Incompetence. Lack of ethics. Stupidity. All of the above, perhaps. Today, we will delve into these stories surrounding these governors and what it means for our broader political culture. That and more on today's episode. Welcome back to Pop Into Politics, Episode 7, The Three Amigos and Scandal. Scandalous. We will discuss these scandals currently affecting Governor Cuomo of New York, a Democrat, Gavin Newsom of California, a Democrat, and Greg Abbott of Texas, a Republican. But before we get started, let's get a few things out of the way. If you like what you've been hearing, please subscribe on your favorite platform and rate me. You can also check out my website, popintopolitics.com, or at Pop Into Politics on Instagram. Leave a comment, vote in some polls, give me some feedback. It would be greatly appreciated. And of course, because of Pop Into Politics, we are nothing but serious professionals. We must get the booze out of the way. What is the booze I'm drinking today? I'm actually having some eggnog. I know that sounds weird. Eggnog, a little splash of some whiskey, which is delicious. I love eggnog. I don't know if anyone at home doesn't love eggnog. I feel as though the eggnog season, Coquito, all of those things should extend at least for like 6 months out of the year. Gets me through the day. So in keeping with Pop Into Politics tradition, I am having some eggnog. It is tasty. I'm going to have a sip right now. If you have no eggnog, have some wine, have some Henny, some vodka. I don't know. The world's rough. A little alcohol in moderation works. So I feel like we've had all official business out of the way, but America still ain't right. She ain't right. These governors ain't right. Things that we're doing in our states are not right. We've got work to do. And that brings us to housekeeping. Sweep, 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 sweep. That's me wiping windows. That brings me to housekeeping. America, girl, you know your house ain't been right. Now get it together. Yes, God, America, she's not right. We've got millions of people with no power and the ninth largest economy in the world, which is the state of Texas, or that seems to be resolving itself a bit, but now they're in a water crisis. We're approaching 490,000 coronavirus deaths. Trump was acquitted last week. We might touch on that a little bit. And of course, I wanted to focus on our three governors, where it seems like people want to put them in front of the firing squad here lately. So let's just get into where we are. What goes up must come down. So if you think back to, and there's a reason why I want to talk about this today. If you think back to where the country was in 2020, Andrew Cuomo was the, I don't know, the hero of America in his supposed handling of the COVID crisis. Governor Newsom also was lauded as someone doing really good work, keeping positivity rates and infection rates and deaths down in his state early on. And Greg Abbott, I'm going to just, in his conservative sort of brand of his Texas, Texas, things work, Texas. I don't know if people had many complaints about Abbott. One of the things I want to say off the bat for all of these governors is that they are governors of some of the largest states in the country. Governing New York, a state, is different than governing Wyoming. I think that's fair that we need to say that. Same for Newsom in California. Same for Greg Abbott in Texas. Larger states, larger populations, more things that certainly could go wrong, more stakeholders, just more issues that you need to deal with. And so I do think, in fairness, when we look back, look towards our political system or our leaders for resolution or what's going on with the problem, I do think all states are not created equally. So I do want to give them that. With that being said, no one seemed to have an issue with their leadership skills early on in the COVID crisis. But again, things change. One day you're a popular pop star, the next people are making documentaries about you and how your life is not quite what it used to be, right? Things change. So let's take each one of these governors one by one, because I do think there are some lessons and just some broader sort of kind of thought process we should employ when we're evaluating our politicians and decisions that we're making. So I am going to start with my governor, Andrew Cuomo, here in New York State, in the hullabaloo, the brouhaha, shenanigans Mr. Cuomo finds himself in. In short, and try to sum this up in the best way I understand it, at the height of the crisis, the COVID crisis here in New York, the governor, according to him, based on CDC guidelines, nursing home patients who are brought to hospitals for care with COVID and might have turned out to be COVID positive were eventually sent back to their nursing facility. And it looks like this went on between March of 2020 to maybe late May of 2020, maybe beginning of June. And the Cuomo administration, of course, is arguing that, hey, we were following CDC guidelines with this directive that the governor gave. As we know different things about the COVID crisis and what has happened, that probably wasn't the best idea. You also could argue that the state of New York at that time, and I'm very, very familiar working in a hospital, being in the city itself, bed capacity for the broader community was a real concern. And so you could argue that if people had a place to go once they had been treated, that the nursing facilities could not deny, you can't deny that person, you need to bring them back. Of course, the next obvious question that someone would have is, yo, you're bringing a bunch of sick people who you know are sick from one location back to a nursing facility with other senior residents. You're infecting everyone and they're dying. So that within itself is bad enough. But the governor certainly could have tried to hide behind the fact of, look, I was following CDC guidelines and we changed it in June and we did what we needed to do. We freed up other beds for other members of the community, right? There's no nursing home for you to go back to. There was a bed shortage. We need to be able to provide beds for people who are going to need care. So I think that just from a political standpoint, there were talking points and things that could be argued. But of course, politicians never know when to quit. So that's not where we just stop with this. What we ultimately end up doing is withholding this data. The first mistake, that there were concerns that the Trump administration, the Trump Justice Department at the time, was interested in seeing what's going on with nursing home deaths in the state of New York. At the same time, the state legislature within New York was also interested in knowing what was going on in nursing homes, the amount of deaths, how they were being counted. And it would appear that the Cuomo administration stonewalled definitely the state, and if not also the federal government on this, in getting this information out for many months. And then the bombshell from a member of his cabinet telling Democratic assemblymen here in the state legislature in New York, hey, yeah, we know that that was going on, but we didn't want to give anyone any dirt on us. So we just kept those reports to ourselves, which I think either lying to different agencies or federal officials, withholding data, all of that can get you in trouble. And now they're trying to backpedal on that. And then, of course, this has exploded with a Democratic congressman, Ron Kim from Queens here in the city, basically saying, look, the governor has called me. The governor has threatened me, my career. But people are speaking out on the Democratic side about this. And you also have, of course, Republicans who, of course, are salivating, salivating like dogs, of course, to open up investigations and potentially an impeachment against Andrew Cuomo. And then for supporters of Andrew Cuomo, you have people saying, ugh, the Republicans asked for investigations on this. It's political. And I mean, these people in the House didn't vote to impeach Donald Trump and blah, 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 blah. So let me just give my two cents as someone who's been in New York City, as someone who's paid somewhat attention to state and local politics. First, I absolutely believe that Andrew Cuomo did exactly what people were accusing him of. That is a belief. That is not a fact. I'm going to just put that out there. That is a belief of mine that they were in the middle of a crisis that was unprecedented for anyone in our lifetime to have to deal with. Some of that data and information that was coming out wasn't good. Whether they wanted to initially give that data to the feds as they were supposed to, and then basically try to tell the state, oh, we can't comply with your request because we have to deal with the feds, was all about preserving political face. And people died from this. People died from that decision to take people from the hospitals back to the nursing homes when they were COVID positive in those first 3 months. Those first 3 months last year in New York City, I would never want to live through again in my lifetime. I don't envy people who are in leadership positions. And people make mistakes. But the cover up of this, the bullying of this towards people, the lying, the coming out and saying out loud, yeah, you know, things weren't right. And so we're going to just hold the data. We're going to just hold and hold and hold the data. We're not going to respond to any of these freedom of information requests. The families want to know what's happened. Was there any policy difference that could have helped maybe that some of their folks in these centers would have lived? So I have to say, just another Andrew Cuomo story. I thought Andrew Cuomo has done a decent job in managing the crisis once it was clear we were in crisis. But I had said back in season one, Andrew Cuomo went on a book tour. Like, New York State didn't have any right to say that they have managed a COVID crisis as some example to the rest of the nation. Not when you have, I think it's well over 30,000 people who've died in the state. I don't know if anyone should be reading your book, Andrew Cuomo. I don't know if we should be taking any victory laps. The other thing that doesn't get a lot of scrutiny that I think is reasonable just based on the facts is if you're San Francisco and you learned about the fact that you might need to shut your city down in February and New York State knows the size of New York State and the city, you know the population density within New York, you get information that's recommending to you that you shut down New York City in early March. You choose not to do that until closer to the end of March. We now know that those weeks that were lost, anything with COVID, losing weeks, all of that stuff matters. So there were a number of things with Cuomo's record and handling this that were already worthy of scrutiny and seem suspect. But if you're hiding mortality, death rates, threatening people who want to get to the bottom of that, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, a liberal, a progressive, if you have a body as hot as the rocks, we don't care. You should face consequences. And since this is literally life and death, and not even about the mistake, but the cover-up potentially, if this can be proved, the FBI is investigating, the state attorney general here in New York, Letitia James, who wrote the report about this that kind of got this started, Andrew Cuomo deserves everything he gets. And there have been times I've really admired and liked Andrew Cuomo. But I thought I wanted to have this episode about this because I feel like there's something missing in our politics, in our citizenry. I would describe myself as a Democrat, somewhat progressive. Some things I probably lean more moderate in stance. I don't have a lot of tolerance for Republicans, just in terms of my own biases at times. But right is right, wrong is wrong. And we have to get back to that place in our politics. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to Mr. Cuomo here. I think he's a strong political operative, if nothing else. But I feel like if you are responsible for an additional 3,000 deaths potentially because of a decision that you made, and then when people ask you about that decision, you lied about it, you tried to hide it, that's Trumpian. That's Trumpian. That's Nixonian. But this is not the time, because there have been some Democrats who, like I said, who have come out and defended him. And it's like, oh, well, where were these Republicans? They didn't charge Donald Trump. And they didn't. And that's hypocritical, too. But if you did it, you did it. And we need to get back into that in our government. I can look back and say, I think that Cuomo's done well with infrastructure at different points in the state. Generally, I think he's been a strong leader at times. But this is a doozy and didn't have to be. So we'll see how that works out. And then we need to get to the great state of California. California. Governor Newsom. Governor Newsom. Oh, dear. So Governor Newsom finds himself in trouble for going ahead and deciding to do some fine dining. Some fine dining while he was issuing stay-at-home orders in the great state of California. He was caught going to a dinner for donors, which again is probably a double knock, another point of not supposed to be doing that. So not only are you at a dinner when your citizens can't go to dinner, and you're there with wealthy donors, some sort of fabulous place where I imagine everyone talks in fabulous accents and asks you, how many people are with you for dinner, Governor Newsom? So that happened. That created a firestorm. And now the governor is facing recall efforts. And it remains to be seen how successful those recall efforts will be against the governor. But people are pissed. This happened back in November. The drive, the push to see the governor lose his seat has not subsided. One could argue that, look, there's one dinner, there's one quote-unquote mistake. We have to start talking about what the definition of mistakes are, by the way. Politicians always talk about making mistakes. Mistakes are like an accounting error, breaking someone's vase, knocking it over or something. Mistakes are not doing things that you shouldn't do and then get caught and say, I made a mistake. We're talking to you, Ted Cruz, leaving your state while they're without water and power. We'll talk about Ted Cruz in an honorable mention section for today's episode. But back to California and Governor Newsom, and part of my Three Amigos segment, there's really strong calls to see him removed from office. And the great state of California has this recall effort. All states do not have that sort of provision. And California has used it before in the not-so-distant past, I believe with Gray Davis. And he had to go. Gray Davis had to go. And that's how they got Arnold Schwarzenegger as their governor. Just a little history there. But do I think, look, what Gavin Newsom did, do I think that's as bad as what happened with the current scandal that Andrew Cuomo finds himself in? Absolutely not. But the principle of the matter and the timing and the situation that the American people, Californians specifically, find themselves in, I can see people being upset that once again, it looks like there's a certain set of roles for politicians and those in power. And there's a certain set of roles for the rest of us schmucks who aren't governors or people in power. And so if the state of California, whether he be a Democrat or not, wants to get rid of him, I don't think anyone should be defending his behavior. And you would think this COVID thing has been front and center of mind for most people. I don't know how you make that quote unquote mistake. I think that Gavin wanted to go to the donor dinner. Again, doesn't look good that it was a donor dinner, right? It's not like he was going to a senior citizen luncheon or something. He's going to a donor dinner, which of course everyone thinks that's what politicians do. It just looks bad, bad optics. And one thing, another rule in politics, the optics, how is it going to look? And if you're that stupid of a politician not to be aware of the optics, and yeah, they're human, but that was a pretty big one. So we will see what happens to Governor Newsom, if he can survive this recall effort. As of now, my bet is that he can. He's in an overwhelmingly Democratic state. Republicans, of course, are pushing this. But I think it's important for people to remember, right? Even like with the Cuomo situation, there are people now calling for his impeachment. That is coming primarily from Republicans in Albany. And people look at that and it's like, oh, well, that's just politics. And it's like, well, no, you've given them an out and they're already not on your side. And so now politically, they are going to take advantage of that. I think people need to keep that in mind. It's like, it's not the Republicans for using the dirt you've given them against you. So we'll see what happens with Cuomo. We'll see what happens with Newsom. And now we have to get to Texas. I said Texas. Let me put on my cowboy hat. Woohoo! Oil drilling. Dallas, Houston, Texas. There's a musical called The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas that I used to watch with my grandmother, Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton. Shouldn't have been watching The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas as a child. But there's a song called Texas Has a Whorehouse in It. Look it up, people. I'm not making that up. I loved that movie growing up as a kid, which might explain some of my weird. Texas. Let's talk about Texas. So, as we all know, although my understanding is that power has come back on to the majority of people in the great state of Texas and the Lone Star State. Interesting week, informative week, I think, for most of the country. So Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott, is the governor of the great state of Texas, and there does not seem to be calls yet for his removal from office or anything like that. But Texas has been on display for the fact that they have a power grid that is woefully unprepared for, well, the cold, the effects of climate change, and that it has been Republican. Texas is probably, there's a couple others, maybe Wyoming, Idaho, Arkansas, but there are states that have been run from top down by Republicans. So Texas hasn't had a Democratic governor since 1994. And so everyone has been a Republican since the great George W. Bush, then Rick Perry, then Greg Abbott. And one of them have had small terms. Their judges in Texas are Republican. Obviously, a lot of their House representatives in Congress are Republican. And they've had two Republican senators to the United States Congress for many, many, many decades. Lion Ted Cruz being one of them. We'll have to do a little spotlight on Ted Cruz, although he's not part of my Three Amigos segment. But basically, what we're learning is that Texas is so special that they are not a part of the rest of the power grid, or cannot connect to the other two, the Eastern Interconnection or the Western Interconnection within our country. So we cannot share power with them in the event that they find themselves in crisis, as they did this past week. And that also helps Texas escape federal regulations, such as, I don't know, properly weatherizing your supply equipment and your power plants and all of those things that clearly the state of Minnesota does, the state of Maine does, North Dakota, Alaska, all the Canadian provinces. So it is possible for people to get oil, gas, heat, electricity in the cold. So I think we all just need to be clear about that, because there are folks like Governor Abbott who, in this crisis, has tried to turn this into a let's beat up on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the New Green Deal and say that that's the reason why Texas is in this particular state, which is laughable considering the fact that the New Green Deal has not passed. No one is living under the New Green Deal, because the vast majority of the Congress doesn't seem like they have the guts to want to go ahead and move forward with that. But I bring up Greg Abbott because after a situation like this, with more than 4 million people in the state of Texas, Texas is the ninth largest economy in the world. We're living in, I would, to be frank, third world squalor in certain parts, when people are trying to get water from fire hydrants and are burning their furniture. All of this could have been prevented. All of this was known, documented in 2011, that their power grid was not up to snuff for this sort of event. They had a cold spell, a cold snap back in, I think, 2011. And so they kind of had like a dress rehearsal for what could happen with cold temperatures. And what the state of Texas has chosen, and the leadership in the state of Texas has chosen, was to deregulate, to privatize, to make money, as opposed to shoring up their grid. Now, it's important for us all to know, we're all going to have challenges with the grid in this country, because the country at large has not invested in the grid as we should, and certainly has not invested in the grid based on the changing reality of what a changing climate is going to do to the grid across the country and the stresses that are going to be put on the grid. Texas is unique. Texas is unique in the fact that they think they're so special and that they had this down pat so well that they didn't need to be connected to the rest of the country and they didn't need to be regulated in any way. And so here we are. It's a shame. It's a tragedy of what's happening to everyday citizens. It'll be interesting to see how people vote after this. Do you vote for Lion Ted Cruz when you have no heat, no water, your house is being destroyed because your pipes are bursting, and this mofo stands for motherfucker. Let me just put that out in the podcast. I need a boop. I need someone to bleep me. Bleep, bleep, boop. That stands for motherfucker. But I just say mofos because it sounds classier. And I am nothing but a lady. To be classy. That stands for that. Yeah, Ted Cruz is flying off to Cancun while his citizens are literally reenacting a version of the Hunger Games. So my fear is always that the American people have short attention spans, and I don't know how you would forget something like this, but the next time Ted Cruz is up for election, they'll forget about this, or they'll be more interested in their guns and abortion than being able to have reliable electricity and water. And I have to say water because they're under boil water restrictions. Big chunks of the state now. So they have their power back, but now they're having a water crisis. So maybe this is all a good lesson to the American people that infrastructure matters. Having people who believe in government in the first place matter. You do need to have some sort of government oversight and regulation. All of those things matter. And yeah, I just thought that I wanted to take an episode to talk about the Three Amigos: Cuomo, Newsom, and Abbott. Ironically, also some of the governors of the biggest states in the Union. And so I will give them that it is not easy. Being a governor of New York is not the same as being the governor of Wyoming. Being governor of Texas is not the same as being the governor of Oklahoma. So they have harder challenges, I want to be fair, but they've all gotten themselves in the doghouse with things that probably were foreseeable or probably would be things that you shouldn't do. We should aspire to have a government where, A, you have people who believe in good governance. So I'm calling out Texas on that one, because what they've done with their power grid is really nothing other than wanting to be greedy and not following the rules. That's why you're not on the grid like everyone else. The other thing is that we expect honesty and truth in our government. And so Andrew Cuomo has miserably failed that test with something that literally was life and death. Okay, so that probably precludes you from being in office. And Newsom, kind of silly what he did, but breaks the rule of people don't like hypocrites, especially in their leadership. And so those three things we should expect, we should demand as American citizens. And it doesn't matter your party. If you had have listened to me in season one, perhaps you would have thought, oh, Colby just loves all Democrats. No. I love or like politicians who do the things and achieve the goals and aims that I believe and support. Generally, they're not Republicans at this time. And I always like to say, at this point in time, that could change tomorrow. That could change tomorrow. I don't think that's going to change tomorrow, but it's possible. At the same time, when Democrats fall short, it's my role, and I think other people's roles, to call them out just like we would any other politician. The system is not about any one person. The system is about aims that we're trying to achieve, the values of the country, and who we can put in place to further them. When they stop furthering those goals, they either need to leave by ballot box, if it's a normal circumstance. If it's something like Andrew Cuomo, where it's like, oops, we just didn't tell you about 3,000 people who died, you might need to leave earlier. You might need to be impeached. You might need to resign. So we're going to keep focusing on Abbott, Newsom, and Cuomo, because I find it very interesting. I could have added some other governors in here. DeSantis in Florida has a scandal brewing. We'll see how long that one goes on, about opening up vaccination sites related to COVID, specifically for the wealthy zip codes. They get special treatment. He should probably come under fire for that. It's kind of shitty. It's not what we believe that our governors are supposed to do in the public trust. And we find that shit out to hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. Make us think about it. Make sure that they know that we know they did it. And we're working to get you out of that office because you've betrayed the public trust. So, but we'll see what happens with that story with DeSantis. And there's probably some others doing things they have no business. But we'll focus on those folks for the day. That's enough, folks. And then lastly, I just wanted to follow up last segment on impeachment. That's over, and he's been, as I suspected, he was not convicted. But I did think, on a positive note, I am going to give a shout out to the seven senators, the seven Republican senators who went into their closets, opened up the door, dusted off their spines, shook it out, connected the vertebrae piece by piece, put it back in, stood up erect like a human being. We must thank Susan Collins from Maine, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, Richard Burr from North Carolina, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, and Senator Romney from the great state of Utah. Congratulations to those Republican senators who found a spine, found their voice. I know I make fun of Susan Collins. Maybe I will not make fun of Susan Collins for about a day. Susan, don't think I've forgotten about all the shitty shit you did before this vote. Ain't forgotten. But I always like to be fair here on Pop Into Politics, and so we'll give Susan some credit for that vote. I have not forgotten about her vote for Brett Kavanaugh. Haven't forgotten it. Won't forget it. Mm-mm. She's going to have to answer for it at the pearly gates. On that note, yeah, we'll end it with a thanks to those seven people who did what I think government is supposed to be about, which is every once in a while doing the right damn thing for your country. I mean, if I really wanted to break it down, Lisa Murkowski is actually the only one who really is being brave, because Lisa Murkowski is the only one who's up for re-election anytime soon, and that is in 2022. Susan is not up for another 6 years. Pat Toomey's retiring. Richard Burr is retiring. Ben Sasse, I think it's 2024. Bill Cassidy is not up for another 6 years. 4 years, and Mitt Romney is not up until 2024. So the only person who's really probably in jeopardy and who people might try to run primaries against and make her life difficult is Lisa Murkowski. And so she probably genuinely is the bravest and did that the way that a politician, a public servant, I think we always forget that that's actually what they are, public servants. They seem to forget. We need to remind them of that more often. So yeah, but that concludes my Three Amigos episode, and just trying to get us back on a footprint of everyone, no matter your party, right is right and wrong is wrong. And that is what I'm going to focus on when I'm doing these podcasts. I do not care your party. On that note, everyone, thank you for listening. Stay well, stay safe, wear a mask, get vaccinated when you have the opportunity to do so. I got vaccinated and my tail grew, but I've gotten it removed. I'm kidding. I did not grow a tail. That was a joke. That was a joke to say that everything will be fine and it is worth it. And we need to get ourselves and our society out of this mess. And that is one of the tools in the toolkit. So I will be back next week for a new episode. Thank you all for listening and stay well. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll be back every Monday with new episodes. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe or follow me. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, Google, Alexa, wherever you prefer to find your podcasts. You can also follow my Instagram, @popintopolitics. Until next time, sending good vibes and well wishes to you all. Thanks for listening.